Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today I want to jump back onto a topic that many of you continue to ask us. In fact, we get so many requests to answer this question that I just have to do an entire program about it. And it comes back to the national best-selling book written by our late co-founder, Larry Burkett. It's a book called The Coming Economic Earthquake. It was written in 1991. Now, I get questions like this. Dear Chuck, unless God intervenes, there's no way that I can get out of debt in time for the economic earthquake. I think it's here. So in light of that, should I buy a few gold coins and stockpile food? I get questions like that over and over. And so today what I want to do is I want to go back through some of the content of Larry's book and tell you exactly what Larry said and what he said you need to be watching for. Not just speculating wildly about the future, not just guessing according to all the news that you're reading, but actually to have some tools in your hand to watch yourself, what's happening in this economy. And then secondly, I want to go into what you actually need to do to be prepared. So today I'm going to go through all of that, and we're going to cover a lot of ground. Now first, in Larry's book, he said that there would be a series of warnings. Not just a single warning, but there would be a series of warnings that you could watch that he thought would begin to unfold over some period of time. Now, the interesting thing is Larry never really tied this to a date. He wrote the book back in the 90s, and there were a lot of people who thought the economy was going to potentially go into a depression in the 90s. Now, looking back, and Larry and I spoke about this in person, he never really put a date to it, but there was expectation that it was going to happen on or before the turn of the new century into the year 2000. And it really didn't happen. In fact, the 90s was a time of great economic expansion. And so today, we're still not trying to put a date on it. But I do want you to look at what Larry was saying. His premise was this, that if we continued to have an ever-growing and expanding federal government, that at some point, our government itself would not be sustainable, and that we would face a meltdown that was greater than the things that we're seeing today. And so we're going to walk through what's happening, the three key indicators that Larry said we had to be watching for that would lead up to this huge earthquake that I don't think we're in right now, but we need to be watching for. And then we're going to talk about what you need to do today on Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth that'll last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're going to talk about our late co-founder Larry Burkett's book written in 1991 called The Coming Economic Earthquake. We're going to talk about specifically the three things that Larry said we needed to be watching for. Because basically Larry didn't say that these events were going to happen on a certain date. All he said was that we needed to be prepared and watchful, and we needed to be vigilant ourselves. Not to be expecting someone else to tell us, hey, it's here, but to be vigilant looking in advance so that we could be prepared. And the second thing we're going to talk about today is exactly what you need to do to be prepared. I'm very concerned about some of the emails we're getting. There's far too many people panicking. And they're wanting to make knee-jerk reaction decisions. And in fact, most of the time, I'm having to tell people, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. There's a lot of people wanting to rush out and convert everything to gold. I think that's a bad idea, but we're going to get into that later in the program. Now, here's the first warning sign. And Larry said there would be a series of warning signs. Now, the first warning sign, and this gave him great credibility, because he said the first sign, basically it would be a just like when an earthquake's coming, you see the first few cracks in the earth. Well, this fissure, this pressure, this crack in the economy, he said would come through a banking crisis. And what he was concerned about is what he saw was a trend that we were creating a system of mega banks, and policy was allowing for what he was calling new financial entities. Basically, what you're reading about today is referred to as the shadow banking system. The shadow banking system were those financial houses outside the reach of the normal banking regulations, and they were operating very similar to banks, and they had become what Larry had predicted in his book, financial product marketers. Now listen to what he said. If financial institutions, these new financial entities, become financial product marketers, it would open the door to abuses. And although it would provide an instant shot in the arm for the banking industry or the financial services sector, it could easily destabilize the economy in the long run. These were the things that Larry was worried about. Once the number of bad loans exceeds the statistical number necessary to repay the depositors, the banks will fail unless the government were to intervene. Now, that's what Larry was writing about back then. But listen to this. Larry said if this begins to happen, he estimated that it would require $1 trillion or more in additional government subsidies. And those subsidies would come either through new taxes, more loans, or more printed money. Now, we are there. We had that great shot in the arm in the economy after the dot-com bust in the early 2000s. We had the real estate shot in the arm. And then we had these hedge funds all selling what's called the derivatives. And those derivatives were nothing more than wildly leveraged speculative financial instruments. And they have, in fact, destabilized the entire economy. But Larry didn't stop there because he said that's not the economic earthquake. That was just a warning sign of the coming earthquake. The second warning would be this, a series of business failures and even a large series of departures from people who wanted to do business in this country. Because what he could foresee then was that there would be an attitude shift, that business people would be considered greedy, and that profits would be considered evil, and that it would be desirous to just tax all those greedy, evil business people in order to take the money into the government. And if that attitude developed, and society started looking at the business person as evil instead of the great good that they do for an economy, that those businesses would begin to be overtaxed, or worse yet, just entirely flee this country. And that would create further economic instability. It would be another great wave of instability. Basically, what he was saying is when the pain left Wall Street and hit Main Street, instability would begin to increase. Now, from my own travels, I've observed this, that the health of a nation can be directly tied to the health of the entrepreneurs. In other words, if a nation is full of budding entrepreneurs and they are supported and they are encouraged and they are motivated and they are protected, then that nation will begin to grow. But if entrepreneurs are suppressed, if they're overtaxed, if they're over-legislated, or if they're even not appreciated and the society begins to view them as evil, then the economic engine of that nation is going to be turned off. Now, I believe that that's the next phase that we're going to see happen in this country. And the small business person is going to begin to suffer under the weight of more and more federal legislation and federal control. But Larry said there was a third and what he thought a final warning sign. And that warning sign is what he called the denial syndrome. And that syndrome would exist when Washington or our political leaders at any level would be in denial that we actually have a foundational level problem, and they would try to convince the public that their fixes were in fact working and that it was safe and that everybody should go back to living as normal. Now, it's interesting. I just read an article that was a summary by 51 economists, and they were surveyed and asked what they thought the economy was going to do. And the majority of those economists said that they thought the U.S. was going into a 14-month recession. Now, it's interesting. They said that that recession started in April 2008, which means if it's going to last 14 months, it's going to be over in June of 2009. But listen to this. More than half of the panelists said that their outlook was based on the assumption that the U.S. Congress would pass a new stimulus package estimated to be necessary at another $211 billion. And if they did that, they believed that this recession is going to be short-lived. Okay, that's the period that I believe we're going to be in denial. When we say it's all over, there's no further problems, that's the warning that I think you and I need to recognize is when we're in deep danger. Because we're going to assume that everybody's going to go back to this idea of more borrowing and more spending, more debt, and more of the indulgent, consumptive type living that got us into this problem in the first place. Because we're so dependent on the consumer to borrow and spend, the government knows the sooner we can convince the consumer to have confidence to go back to living the way we used to live, the sooner this economy is going to jumpstart. Now, I believe if you see these warning signs coming, that you can be one of those that's actually prepared for the days ahead and not overwhelmed by them. And that's exactly what we want to help you do, to be prepared for the difficult days ahead. Well, I'm Chuck Bentley. You're listening to Money Life. We'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about the coming economic earthquake based on Larry Burkett's best-selling book. Now, we talked about, he said that we need to be watching for three specific warning signs. The first was a banking crisis. The second was for a series of ripples that would occur in the business sector, basically when the pain moved from Wall Street onto Main Street. We're seeing that happen right now. We're seeing a huge financial system crisis across the world. And next, we're going to see a tremendous amount of pressure on the business community. And then the third warning, he said, was a denial syndrome. When Washington particularly tried to convince us that everything was fine and that we should just ignore the incredible amount of debt that the government had taken on. If you don't believe there's a problem, listen to this. This is from an article called The Intelligence Report. The U.S. government owes $2.67 trillion to foreign governments and investors. That's 20% of our total gross domestic product. And that number is growing rapidly. Listen to this. In 2001, we owed China $61 billion. Today, it's $541 billion and growing. In fact, I think China just became the nation that we owe more money to than any other nation in the world. Listen to this one. In 2001, we owed Russia less than $10 billion. Now it's $74 billion. According to Doug Elmendorf, a federal budget expert, he said the debt is sold to other countries in the form of U.S. treasuries, and we have to also pay interest on those securities. And in the coming years, a big chunk of our country's wealth will leave our own economy to go overseas just to pay back those loans. And he asked this question, will this outflow of cash affect our standing in the world? Well, absolutely. The U.S. emerged as a global power after World War I, and the U.K. declined in part because it owed so much in British debt. Listen to this. Today, we owe Britain $307 billion. We owe the OPEC nations $179 billion. And we owe the Caribbean countries $147 billion. We owe almost every nation of this world. Now, God understands all of this, and He has a solution. But He warned us in Deuteronomy 28 that we should carefully obey Him. And if you haven't read Deuteronomy 28, sit down tonight and read the whole thing. He says very clearly that there's blessings for obedience and there's curses for disobedience. The Lord said if we disobey Him, the alien who lives among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you will sink lower and lower. He will lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He will be the head, but you will be the tail. The Lord warned us not to get ourselves in this condition. So what do you do? Well, let's talk about that because many of you want some specific advice, and I'm going to be just as clear as I can be. The first thing you need to do if you're starting out in life and you're young and you've got a lot of years ahead of you and you believe that there's a sense of urgency to get your finances in order, the very best advice I can give you is to get a hold of a Crown Money Map and start following those steps as rapidly as you can. They're very simple. You need to save $1,000 in emergency savings so that you can break your credit habit. You need to have financial margin. Secondly, you need to save 3 to 6 months of living expenses. Thirdly, you need to start paying down all your consumer debt and then working on that house and getting it paid for. All of those are common sense steps that you need to do before you put away retirement funds. Now, the reason people are so concerned right now is many people have their funds set away in long-term retirement instruments and they can't get to them. They're illiquid without a penalty. And so people are worried that they're going to need cash that they don't have access to, or they leverage themselves up by borrowing against their home equity, and they don't have access to that cash. And now the credit card companies are tightening up their standards and lowering the amount of money people can run up on their credit cards. So you need to follow the Money Map steps. Now, some of you are more advanced than that. You're approaching retirement age, and you're wondering, should I cash out of my retirement? Well, I don't think so. I think you need to move those 401k funds into a low-risk vehicle where you can protect them. Move them into a very low-risk money market type fund, but try not to lose them. Go on the defensive and manage your account very, very well. I don't think it's worth withdrawing it unless you're just absolutely underwater and you've got to have access to those funds without borrowing more money. But it's going to be a big hit for you to do that. But if you're worried about losing your home, it's better to take that hit on those retirement funds, cash out of them, and get out of debt. You don't want to go through a great deal of economic turmoil carrying a big, heavy debt load. And then the third thing that I believe is so important for every believer to understand, and anyone who's listening to this program and the Holy Spirit is saying to your heart and to your soul and to your mind, this may be true. The most important thing to do is to rethink your purpose. This is a time to walk by faith. The purpose of this turmoil is not about money. It's about living by faith and trusting God and being a witness and a help and a support to others. I just told the story on a program recently of the three little pigs. And the little pig that built the strong financial house wasn't there just to brag about his house and that his house didn't get blown down. It was to take in and provide shelter and comfort to the two little pigs who did get wiped out. Now, that's pretty simple, and it's Acts chapter 4, where the body of believers come together and they say, this is the time that we're here to help each other. You know, God wants this to impact our heart, and He wants our heart to be open to have our house in order, our finances in order, so that we can advance His kingdom and His glory, not so that we can survive an economic crisis. But we're going to talk more about that when we come back. I'm Chuck Bentley. You're listening to Money Life. We'll return in just a second.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible. Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and as we wrap up today's program, I want to give you some real specific thoughts. Many of you have asked before, what are some practical things I need to be thinking about? Well, obviously, I think you need to have your finances in order. I think it's a good idea to have at least 1 month of your living expenses in the bank in an FDIC insured account. Be sure you have that. I think if you can, get up to 3 to 6 months in savings and keep some of that cash at home in a safe place. Also, I recommend that you keep 1 month of groceries in dry storage at home so that if there is a sudden contraction in the economy that you don't have to worry about a run on the grocery stores. Pay off all your debt as soon as possible. Keep your 401k in a very safe money market fund, very low risk. I would avoid the penalties for early withdrawal unless you're just totally upside down in debt. And I would not buy silver and gold. If you do buy one of those two, I would recommend you find a very good price to buy some silver bullion to keep on hand, but not a whole lot. And I would be very careful not to pay too much for it and just hang on to it for a while because it could be very helpful if we ever experience hyperinflation. But that's just a hedge. I think it's more important to get out of debt. Pay off your house as soon as possible. Get equity in your home as soon as possible. If you have a second mortgage on your home, attack that thing and get rid of it. Now, many of you are going to hear this today, and it's going to stir something up in you, and I don't want that to be fear. Listen to God's word. In Proverbs 1, he says, "For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm." Now, there are going to be people who do not heed God's voice, who do not heed His word, and do not get their house in order. And unfortunately, they're going to suffer needlessly because they've made foolish decisions. And God's not obligated to rescue those people. I think there's others who are going to suffer at no fault of their own, but simply because things are going to happen that are going to ripple into their lives or their businesses. We're going to have to learn to face adversity with peace and with long-suffering and the fruit of the Spirit, and to accept that some things may not turn out well for us. But then I think there's going to be other Christians, as the Lord promised, that they're going to experience supernatural provision, and God's going to use all three of those groups to bring glory and honor to Him. Because in the final analysis, an economic crisis is not about getting your finances in order. It's about getting your heart in order. It's about shifting your faith from your wallet into a true, vibrant trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when people around you see that peace, they're going to want to know the God whom you serve. Well, I hope you've been encouraged today. We'll keep you posted in the days ahead. I'm Chuck Bentley. You've been listening to Money Life.